Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Having a great time listening to Chicago in Washington, D.C. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. It's good to be here with you, and it's good to be in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I guess I'd have to say it's my favorite city in the country of the big cities. I like San Francisco. I like New York. But Washington is just a beautiful city. I know there's a lot of craziness that goes on up here, and if you just take that out of the way, all the political, some of the political nonsense that goes on, Washington is a beautiful city, and somebody who knows all about that is Elizabeth Gaudio. She's senior executive counsel at the NFIB, and Beth, she says, her friends call her, and she's our new friend. Beth, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.
And you work for another friend of ours, Karen.
I sure
Karen
do.
Arnett,
yes.
Is chief counsel for the NFIB and head of the Legal Foundation.
Exactly.
Right?
My supervisor and boss extraordinaire, I call
her.
She's
a great lady. She's been on the show
really
many times before. Okay. Why does the NFIB need someone who does what you do?
Good question. We are the voice of small business in the courts. I mean,
right.
that's how the NFIB Legal Foundation came about. You know, NFIB is a powerhouse, certainly in all the state legislatures,
right,
and, of course, on Capitol Hill.
All 50 states.
And even with what we call the regulators,
mm-hmm,
we really have a good voice, too.
Right.
And about 5 years ago, NFIB board took a look at what they were doing, and said, hey, we're missing the third branch of government here, and we need to, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, the courts, you know, establish public policy, if you will, with their decisions in a way, too. And it's important that we weigh in there, too. So that is what the Legal Foundation does.
You know,
in a large part.
I believe that I was one of the first people to tell the American people about that.
Were you?
And in fact, I think I may have been in your offices.
Wow.
I was broadcasting one time from your offices, and I think I announced, I'm not saying it was the day they opened shop. I'm just saying it was brand spanking new.
Kind of the kickoff for the Legal Foundation.
I remember that, and that was pretty exciting. And so I'm glad to see that it's not even only going well, but it's being successful. Okay, one of the big things that you work on is tort reform.
It is.
And in case people don't know what tort reform is, tell us what that means.
Well, when we talk about tort reform from NFIB perspective, too, we are essentially cutting down on the number of lawsuits is what we're looking to do.
Right.
We don't like to see our
frivolous
members in
lawsuits.
Court. Frivolous lawsuits in
because
particular.
Because when a small business owner goes to court, whether they win or lose, they lose.
Exactly.
Because it takes some time
exactly
out of their business. It costs them money, even if they represent themselves, which many of them have to do because they don't want
right
to spend on an attorney. Either way, they lose.
A lawsuit
is a loss for a small business owner.
I mean, the U.S. tort system now, it's estimated that costs over $260 billion a year.
Wow.
That's $886 a person, if you can believe that. Maybe not surprising, over 50% of that goes towards legal fees.
Exactly.
And I think the scariest number I've heard comes from the U.S. Small Business Administration, which estimated recently that the tort liability price tag for small businesses is $88 billion a year.
$88 billion. And that's up from a year or so ago.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going
so it's
down.
A lot.
It's
no,
going
it's
the wrong
not.
Direction.
It's not. Well, attorneys, I mean, do you know any attorneys that are lowering their fees? And I say that as an attorney,
and
too.
There are more of them out there, too, aren't there?
Overall, 94% of the world's lawsuits are filed in this country, and 70% of the world's attorneys are located in the United States. So we like
Something
to litigate.
Wrong with that. What's wrong
yeah
with that picture?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. We like to litigate, unfortunately, to solve our disputes.
It's a litigious country.
Very expensive way to resolve disputes.
And it becomes prohibitive sometimes for small business owners to defend themselves.
Right.
And many times for no reason. So what are we going to do about it?
So, well, we've gotten involved in two, what I call drive-by lawsuit cases recently in California involving, unfortunately, abuses of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And when I say drive-by, I mean, you know, a plaintiff will come in with kind of a demand letter. Your doorway is an inch short, or, mm-hmm, you know, you don't have the right signage here. Oh, but if
these
you pay me $5,000.
These are predators, basically.
Exactly. Pay me $5,000 and, oh, I'll go away. So we've gotten involved in those lawsuits.
Have you heard of any small business owners who've actually paid that? I mean, that's extortion.
It is extortion. That's exactly what it is. It really is extortion. And unfortunately, some of them do, because as you know, you pointed out, it's, you know, sometimes the easier, or seems like the cheaper course to just pay up.
Can't people who do that be charged with extortion?
Well, in one of the cases we got involved in California, the attorney was and his client were charged as vexatious litigants, was the term the court used.
Vexatious.
And they now vexatious.
I
like that too. And they now are required to get approval from the court before they file any more Americans with Disabilities Act lawsuits.
Wow.
And they've challenged that in the Ninth Circuit now, and we filed a brief.
I've heard of some attorneys in California. They've been stopped. And some of them went to jail. Who actually mailed letters. Have you heard this story? They mail letters to small business owners. And mass mailing, and said, if you don't do certain things, we're gonna
file the attached complaint here.
Exactly.
But you can make this go away.
Exactly. That's
if you pay $5,000.
There were some attorneys who did that.
Yes.
And they caught them to the California Bar Association's credit. They caught those people. They prosecuted them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I think, are in jail. They've lost their licenses.
Right.
And they stopped that.
Yes.
But
yeah.
That's the kind of predatory stuff that goes on out there.
It is, unfortunately. And they target small businesses, again, because they don't have in-house counsel.
Right.
They know these businesses don't even have, the money laying around to hire an attorney to even write, kind of a nasty gram letter back.
But tort reform, is tort reform going to help that? I mean, those are extreme cases and predatory mm-hmm. cases. But other cases what are some examples of how tort reform would work? And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get you to hold on to that thought. We're
sure.
going to talk about that and a little bit more right after these messages. We're also going to talk about the Legal Foundation, the NFIB Legal Foundation, right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's John Mellencamp to take us out. Little Steely Dan for you there. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling in Washington, D.C. at the NFIB's 2006 Small Business Summit, my third summit to broadcast, to attend and broadcast from, and always having a great time here with our good friends at the NFIB. And by the way, folks, I encourage you to go to their website, nfib.com, and they don't pay me a nickel to say that. I tell you that because I'm a member, and I want you to join me and with all the other hundreds of thousands of members so that we can gaggle our little coins together and help people like Beth Gaudio do a good job up here in Washington, D.C. and across the country on behalf of you and me. If she has a job, she's going to work hard to make sure that you and I get represented. In Congress, in state houses, in our courts too, right, Beth?
Exactly, Jim. Very important place for small businesses to focus, and because a lot happens in the courts,
right.
Unfortunately, that impacts small business owners.
Now you have your own website,
NFIB. Yeah, but you can get to it from the NFIB website.
Right.
There's a legal tab on there, or www.nfiblegal.com.
NFIBlegal.com.
Yes,
we'll get you right
yes.
there. And that's where we can find some of the research that you were mentioning earlier.
Yes. And also some of our resources, too. We have a wonderful federal employment law handbook that's available
Good.
On our website.
That'll help you stay out of trouble.
Yes, that'll help you stay out of trouble.
That's another thing that you guys do is not only you protect us, help us from the standpoint of tort reform, trying to get tort reform enacted, but also helping small business owners stay out of court.
That is
How does
a
that work?
Big, big part of what the Legal Foundation does is keeping our members out of court. And we do that. Each year we add another publication to our legal library. Right now we have four, in addition to our federal employment law handbook, we have a model employee handbook, a handbook for handling OSHA inspection. We have tips for hiring a lawyer. And a document retention handbook, too.
Wow.
All these are available for NFIB members. Benefit of membership.
And that's all at NFIBlegal.com.
Yes.
But you can also find that from NFIBlegal.com.
Right,
folks.
Right.
NFIBlegal.com or .org?
Either one.
Okay,
I think
either one will work.
I think either one will work.
So, and tell us a little bit more about the foundation.
Okay, well, the foundation, in addition to, as we talked about, our court work, we have the educational component, too. And we also have a employment law hotline. And this is very exciting. Just started April 1st. And we are running this in conjunction with Aaron Fox, which is a great law firm here in Washington,
right.
D.C. And the way it works is members call up with an employment law question.
Mm.
They leave a message. And within 24 hours, an attorney from Aaron Fox will call them
wow.
back. So you're getting free legal advice.
A member
very
of NFIB
exciting.
Can call in and get a free legal tip.
Legal advice. Exactly. They will talk
not
with an attorney.
Not just a tip, but advice.
Advice.
They'll call them back and talk to them.
They will call them back and talk to them.
Like a real human being.
Real human being. Not a recording.
Wow.
No, real human beings. So this is wonderful. We are getting between 10 and 20 questions a week at the hotline. Obviously very popular. Employment law matters
absolutely.
Are a problem for yeah, small business
absolutely.
Owners.
Absolutely.
And
you know, folks, the average, if I'm not mistaken, NFIB won't let you give them more than $1,000 a year. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the limit now. The average company probably puts in 150, 200, 250 bucks mm-hmm. a year to be a member of the
NFIB. I think you're about right, yeah.
For all the stuff that you're talking about, that we've been talking mm-hmm. about on the show, and that you just got through
right.
saying, that's included. And I just wonder if how many people know that. Not enough people. And, of course, we try to tell them about that because, as you know, folks, I'm a big supporter of the NFIB, and I like hearing those kinds of mm-hmm. things. Beth, thank you for making that available.
Yeah, no.
That's brand new, right?
Brand new since April 1st, the Employment Law Hotline 1-800 number. And the questions people are calling about range from immigration, OSHA inspections, hiring and firing, drug-free workplace, dress codes. I mean, it runs
Americans
the gamut.
Americans with Disabilities Act.
ADA questions, absolutely.
Right.
All those, any kind of employment law matter, the attorneys at Aaron Fox will be able to respond to the questions.
What would you see, if you were talking to, you're talking to a lot of small business owners right now, what would you like to say to them about what you do and how, if they knew what some of the things you knew, they could improve things in the courts and keeping themselves out of court? What would be your best advice to them right now?
For a small business owner, I would say, and actually this is something I've thought about too, and a member agreed with me last week. I said, you know, I've heard people say that tell small business owners that the most important person you work with, professionally work with, is your accountant, to have
mm-hmm.
a good accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now maybe the most important person, partner, is your attorney.
Yeah.
Is to have a good attorney, too.
Right.
That things you might have done on your own, letters you might have written, it's worthwhile maybe
right.
to spend the $200 to have an attorney review a letter now. Because as we've talked about, lawsuits are so expensive, and you
right.
just want to avoid them, too.
Find a good attorney
Find
who knows
good,
about small business.
Yes, yeah. It's worth it to run
right.
things by attorneys.
Beth, thank you for being here.
Thank
Good job
you
today.
So much, Jim.
Good job, and thank you for all you do for small business owners.
Well, thank you.
We'll get you back on again real soon.
Okay.
Going to take a quick take. Well, actually, I got to go, folks. I hate to leave you, but I have to. But I'll be back tomorrow. I got a lot more of these kind of folks lined up for the show on tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.